Hi, listeners. This is Henry. We are back for a second episode, and I am so motherfucking excited to check in with my friends, to talk, to convene, to get high, to relax with all that's going on with Corona right now. And actually, we have a Yeti microphone now that we got the Meezy and Saw all pulled together to get. So hopefully, you can notice the sound quality has been much improved. And we're also working on doing like sound production and editing and like learning about that sort of thing. And just, trying to come into our own with our podcast and our creations and Asada Collective. But so speaking of the Asada Collective, we have launched our very own book club. And our very first meeting is going to be on August 29th at 3 p.m. via Zoom. We have posted it on our Instagram, on our Facebook, on Twitter. And the link, there's a link for you to register if you would like to attend. It's for Black and Brown people only. If you are looking for a radical space to commune, discuss theory, we'll be reading the Combahee River Collective statement written in the 1970s by Black feminist lesbian organizers as our first reading. So that's what we got coming up. So let's get into it. I did a reading of a poem called Menace to My Enemies by June Jordan to get us started for our grounding for this episode. So strap in, take a deep breath. And let's see where you at. I will no longer lightly walk behind a one of you who fear me. Be afraid. I plan to give you reasons for your jumpy fits and facial tics. I will not walk politely on the pavements anymore. And this is dedicated in particular to those who hear my footsteps or the insubstantial rattling of my grocery cart, then turn around, see me, and hurry on. Away from this oppressive terror, I must be. I plan to blossom bloody on an afternoon, surrounded by my comrades, singing terrible revenge in merciless accelerating rhythms. But I have watched a blind man studying his face. I have set the table in the evening and sat down to eat the news. Regularly, I have gone to sleep. There is no one to forgive me. The dead do not give a damn. I live like a lover who drops her dime into the phone just as the subway shakes into the station, wasting her message, canceling the question of her call, fulminating or forgetful, but late and always after the fact that could save or condemn me. I must become the action of my fate. How many of my brothers and my sisters will they kill before I teach myself retaliation? Shall we pick a number? South Africa, for instance. Do we agree that more than 10,000 in less than a year, but that less than 5,000 slaughtered in more than 6 months will? What is the matter with me? I must become a menace to my enemies. And if I ever let you slide, who should be extirpated from my universe? Who should be cauterized from the earth completely? Law and order jerk-offs of the first, the terrorist degree. Then let my body fail my soul in its bedeviled lecheries. And if I ever let love go, because the hatred and the whisperings become a phantom dictate I obey in lieu of impulse and realities, the blossoming flamingos of my wild mimosa trees, then let love freeze me out. I must become a menace to my enemies.
Now,
Hey boys, what's up?
Hello.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of Where You At?
Woo! Yeah! We miss you guys! Oh, wow. I thought I meant Care Bears. We're just going to have to go on YouTube. So, basically, there's this old band called Care Bears on Fire that used to play at Nickelodeon all the fucking time. And I was asking Saul and Henry if they remembered them, and they said, Henry, you said yes after I showed you, like a third song. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, I remember seeing it, but I don't think I saw it on Nickelodeon. I feel like I saw it in another random, like, YouTube video.
Really?
And I have no recollection of them at all.
I can't. I mean, they were very, like, I feel like they were popular for, like, a second, and then I don't know if they were popular, if everyone was just like, what? So, was it Barbie Eat a Sandwich that we were like, what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, tell us if you guys remember this band.
Let me turn this.
Make up nose drops, 7 foot tall. Wears high heels, but she never falls. Her hopes or dreams, just one big smile. She's got no brains, but she's got style. Barbie in a sandwich for you tonight. Barbie in a sandwich, give it a try.
The way they're running.
This reminds me of like those girls who are like, I'm not like the other girls. And just like, it's just internalized misogyny. Because I'm like, I feel like this is in the same vein of making fun of like, be like when people used to like make fun of anorexia.
Yeah. And then they were like, you look great, but what's, remember in the later on in the song, they're like, you look great, but you like need to eat. That's essentially what they said. I'm like, what? You look great, bitch.
And I bet when this was being like made, they're like, "Wow, we're so progressive. We are making a statement."
Yeah, well, they're not. They literally said, "Let me see if I can find the part when she said, you look great." I can't with this damn running. Where are you going?
They're just like running through the video. They look like cutouts.
I can't with her braces.
I can't even describe the video. It's like it's supposed to be a magazine, like
yeah, it's like
collage.
Yeah.
But
I can't with her braces. I just can't. Oh, nothing wrong with braces, guys. Just, she looks so good. That's so fucked up. Is there anything wrong with me? Yeah, like.
Oh, I guess it's so important to note that these girls are also, like, 12.
Yeah, so it's like, they didn't write this. I'm not blaming
these
girls.
Oh, yeah, no.
Definitely
not.
Do you see the sandwich they're making? It's literally lettuce, tomato, and cheese.
Yeah, that was, it was like two things of cheese.
Yeah.
Like, who? Who told them how to make a sandwich?
Like, girl, not, Barbie, I'm like,
hell
no.
This is why I'm starving.
I'm a starve, yeah. Like, sandwich look nasty.
I wonder if anybody else remembers this. Tell us if you remember. I don't know how to go tell us. I was like, we don't have.
Oh, yeah. Well,
our Twitter is the Asada Collective without the E.
Oh, yeah. And then our Instagram. Oh, well, I don't want them to DM us. Be like, oh, I remember the Care Bears. Just add us.
Right? I do. I can't.
You want to say just, like, a bunch of people. Like, oh, yeah, I remember them.
Oh, well,
all, those are all our messages.
Wow.
About the Care Bears on Fire.
Yeah, just add us, guys.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
With the blunt one out.
Damn. Wow.
Where's the lighter?
I left it over there.
No!
I can't. Hold on.
Whatever will we do?
Why have the lighters forsaken us?
Wow. What are the trucks doing? Mastani. Mastani's our cat. Also, in the last episode, there's a part where Z said, like, Nishi, go get the weed. Nishi's our cat.
Oh, I can't. Mm-hmm. They're probably like, who's Nishi?
We're trying to train them to do tasks.
I can't. People are going to think you're abusing the animals.
No! Train people to do tasks? Dogs.
I feel like, why would you just jump to abuse?
Right.
Because people don't train cats.
People train dogs all the time, though.
Yeah, but they're, like, more.
But how would training a cat be different than training a dog?
Because their brains are different. That's why there's, like, that's why there's therapy dogs and like service dogs. But it works dogs, the not same way. Cats.
You give them a treat and a command.
But there's no service they cats. They listen. They would be there terrible. Nuh-uh. Service yeah. cats? No, yeah. people, blind people.
Oh, cross not no. blind people.
No, there are no service cats. But there are
other forms of service, like animals that.
Yeah, but not like.
Are you Googling service animal?
I'm looking up service cats. Unfortunately, cats can't be recognized as service animals.
They can be emotional support.
Yeah, but I'm talking
which
about.
Which is a technically
like,
service.
I'm talking about for like physical disabilities, though.
Wow, you're being really ableist right now.
How? They literally can't be. Like, they can be emotional support, but they can't yeah, be physical
which is,
support.
Which is service.
Yeah, but they're talking about.
We're gonna go get the lighter.
I can't. Look, there's a difference between a service animal and an emotional support animal. It says it right there.
Why can't an emotional support animal be a service animal as well?
I don't know. Let me see what it says. It says that a service animal is typically allowed entrance into any place that public that the public is allowed.
So that's the only that's the only barrier.
Is that service animals are specifically trained to help individuals with disabilities. They're talking about physical disabilities. Basically, the difference is physical and, like, emotional and mental disability. I can't really have this long conversation about it.
Right.
Where did this start? How did we get from Barbie eat a sandwich to this?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, because we're talking about training cats.
Oh, our cats well, I was really... explaining who Nishi was.
Yeah.
And Mastani is also another cat.
Oh, actually, says as of today, dogs are the only animals allowed to be considered service animals. I guess
that's sort of limiting.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? It was unnecessary.
Is there like, what if there's not enough dogs?
Because I feel like there could be like service pigs.
Yeah, other
yeah,
animals
pigs
are
smart.
Day.
I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
I want a service crow.
I can't with you.
Yeah.
You should get a service bat, like that bit giant Philippine bat.
What the fuck would a bat do for you?
Catch me, pray.
What? You what?
Catch me, pray.
That's what you
like,
have your service
down on people, and like just like
are the people your prey?
Well, no, but well, if you had some people you want, never mind. I shouldn't say this in the podcast.
I can't. You're too much.
Mm-hmm. But that bat would be able to, like, take you places and, like...
Yeah, that big-ass bat.
Oh, is it going to pull you? You're going to have it on the leash?
Yeah.
No, like, you ride it.
What?
I thought that's what you meant. I thought you meant, like, you get on its back.
I don't know if...
It could do that to a baby, at
maybe
least.
A baby.
Or a small child.
Wait, what kind of bat?
I don't know if
the giant ass bat.
I don't know how it would hold the bat, because hold the baby, because it needs its arms to fly.
There's wolf-sized bats in where?
Oh,
the Philippines.
Yeah.
Philippines.
I think they're
Google
called, what are they called, wolf bats or fox bats?
I can't remember.
When I saw the picture of them, I refused to believe it was real. I was like, no.
Look.
Somebody's playing a horrible
called?
Joke on us.
They're called large flying fox.
Large flying fox. They're these giant bats that can grow up to 5 feet long. They're native to the Philippines, I think.
Yeah.
Bitch, could you imagine? I'd have a heart attack.
I would be so happy if I saw one of these. Like, I could.
They're kind of
flying
cute.
Towards you, running
okay, maybe
towards
not.
You.
You could like.
I don't think they
get
run.
It.
You
like
run.
You could keep it. That'd be lit.
I feel like y'all are the people who'd be excited to see them.
Not just us, other people.
Yeah.
Who? White people.
No.
How dare you? If someone has a wingspan of 4 feet and 11 inches, I know someone who's 4 foot 11 inches. Damn.
Wow.
That is wild.
And its head and body length is 11 to 13 inches. Wow.
That's too damn big to be a bat.
That's literally the size of a baby. That's lit.
Anyway, I hate nature.
I can't with you.
Why would
you
God
hate
do
nature?
This?
Wow. I can't believe.
Mm-hmm. Should that be the end of the segment?
Yeah. They can't with us.
I hate nature. Why, God, why?
What do you want to talk about now? Oh, there's Hamilton.
Let's talk about the downfall of Terry Crews.
Oof.
Should we start with just the tweets?
Should we start with what?
The very first thing.
Yeah, the very first.
Okay, so on June 30th, 2020, 9:20 a.m., Terry Crews woke up and said, "If you are a child of God, you are my brother and sister. I have family of every race, creed, and ideology. We must ensure that hashtag Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into hashtag Black Lives Better." Then, what is it, the 4th of July? Let me see. Terry Crews tweeted at 3:14 p.m., so he has some time to think about it. In the afternoon on the 4th of July, he goes, "Are all white people bad? No.
Yes.
Are all black people good? No. Yes. Knowing this reality, I stand on my decision to unite with good people, no matter the race, creed, or ideology. Given the number of threats against this decision, dash, I also decide to die on this hill."
This hill?
This hill.
Terry chose this hill to die on.
This hill.
What a mess.
So let's go back to the first tweet. "If you are a child of God, you're my brother and sister. We must ensure Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into Black Lives Better." Who the fuck are you talking to, and where the fuck is this coming from? I don't... And then he went on and was on the Don Lemon show, just looking like a complete fool. And I'm still not understanding. This is... Terry Crews reminds me of my parents, who will say shit about movement but won't be in connection to or talking to anybody in movement spaces. He's saying that he doesn't think Black Lives Matter or, like, is dealing with black-on-black crime, which is not a real thing, and is literally, like, a deflection. And is not even an argument. Like, people commit crime, and I say crime in quotations because it's like, crime is something that was invented. Like, black people are criminalized, first of all. So when you say black on black crime, it's just literally an invention to make black people look bad, look like our deaths don't deserve. Or they're like, it implies they're like, oh, if black people kill each other, white people can kill them too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's like, you usually commit crimes against those who are in proximity to you.
Yeah, and that's what Don Lemon was, like, trying to explain to Terry Crews, and Terry Crews was just like, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Well, I'm like, clearly you don't when you say things like this. And he was saying, like, there's been, like, 9 deaths in Chicago due to gun violence, and it's been black-on-black crime. And he's like, Black Lives Matter has been silent. And I'm like, Don Lemon said there's people doing that work, and there's not, like, people are silent on that issue.
Yeah.
And also, Black Lives Matter activists do talk about, like... This is where I get mad. People think Black Lives Matter is just an organization. They just say Black Lives Matter is, like, the whole movement. It's like, they have no idea what they're talking about. There was an organization, there's the Movement for Black Lives, and there's different organizers who also just happen to be black and a part of, like, organizing spaces.
Yeah.
But when you said Black Lives Matter does this or does that, I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
I think he might be talking about the national organization, which is trash. Like, organizers in their own cities have said, like, who used to deal with, like, the actual national Black Lives Matter, like, it's not for us. Like, people just need to... I think what he's trying to say is the Movement for Black Lives, but he's, like,
doesn't
attributing
have that language,
that.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he's not in communication with anybody who's actually an organizer or an activist. Otherwise, you would not be saying all this foolishness.
Mm-hmm. So dumb.
Mm-hmm. And he thinks he's being very noble, and that is one of the things that agitates me about people, especially, like, cishet black men. They're like, look at me. I'm going to die on this hill. And it's like, you're just being typically, like, problematic, and they think they're being so noble, and any kind of, like, critique is, like, seen as just, like, they're like, wow, of course they're coming after me because I'm being so noble.
Yeah.
And it's such a delusion. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then on July 6th, Terry Crews said, "All Black Lives Matter. 9 black children killed by violence in Chicago since June 20th
He's just a coon. Like, he's literally a dumb coon.
Coon. I remember there's some more tweets. He was like, and if I get called an Uncle Tom, or I think...
Yeah.
I can't find them right now, but wow.
Have y'all seen the tweets of, like, Terry taking his roles way too seriously? like, he's still stuck in character from White Chicks, and he plays a cop on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and they're like, oh, he thinks he's a cop, like.
Yeah. A little too into character. We should play parts of the interview.
Here's how he explained it. Are all white people bad? No. Are all black people good? No. Knowing this reality, I stand on my decision to unite with good people, no matter the race, creed, or ideology. Given the number of threats against this decision, I also decide to die on this hill. Terry Crews joins me now. Terry, man, you stepped in it. You say that you're willing you say you're willing to die on this hill. You've taken a lot of heat for this. Explain what you were thinking and why it's so important that you die on this hill.
Well, again, you know, I wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, there are some very, very, you know, militant type forces in Black Lives Matter. And what I was issuing was a warning. You know, it's one of those things where I've been a part of different groups. I've been a part of different things. And you see how extremes can really can go far and can go wild. And then when you issue a warning, and when a warning is seen as detrimental.
Who the fuck is Terry Warning?
Yeah, what warning is he talking about?
Like, do you think you're educating us? Do you think you're you know what? I'm just going to keep let the interview play. Movement.
How can you ever, ever have checks and balances? You know, in the 60s,
this is people clinging to, like, white supremacist institutions, because it's like, I know he's just, like, regurgitating, oh, checks and balances, because that's what I'm told our United States government works on. But it's like, we acknowledge that the United States government has, like, built on the degradation of, like, black people, black life, indigenous people. So why do we give a fuck how the government functions? And it doesn't even work in a series of checks and balances. It just works off white supremacy and whatever white people feel like doing. So.
The 70s, airplanes went down all the time. And the reason they found out why they did was because the pilots could never be questioned. And when you have the leaders of the Black Lives Movement who are now talking about, you know, if we don't get our demands, we're going to burn it down.
Damn right.
Other black people who are talking about working with other whites and other races, they're being viewed as sellouts or called Uncle Toms.
Who's he talking about?
But they are Uncle Toms. Like, I feel like whoever he's talking about is probably an Uncle Tom like him. So.
But I was like, people aren't being called Uncle Toms just for working with the white people. People are called Uncle Toms for, like, reasonable things. Like, you do things that's detrimental to black people's movement. Like
what he's doing right now.
Yeah, like, this is detrimental to the movement. This takes away. We could be, like, focusing on something so much more, I guess, productive. But here we are, Terry Crews telling people information that's not accurate and asking questions that don't move any kind of conversation forward and aren't new and... Terry's responding to, like, talking points. Like, we're, like, I feel like the conversation is here, up in the air, and I'm, like, raising my hands, and Terry Crews is here, is, like, down here, and Terry thinks we're having the same conversation, and we're not. Mm-hmm. It's, like, we're far past that. You need to do some basic reading. You need to, like, get in basic communication with people. But you think you're educating us and, like, are asking, like, a productive question and you're not. And that's just one of the most frustrating things for me. Because I'm like, cishet men always do this. They always think they're the first person to think of everything. They always assume there's, like, no other, like, work or no other conversation's been had around, like, their concerns. Mm-hmm. And it's so insulting.
Mm-hmm. You start to understand that you are now... you know, being controlled. You're not being treated as love. You're actually being controlled. Someone wants to control the narrative. And I viewed it as a very, very dangerous self-righteousness that was developing that, you know, that really viewed themselves as better. It was almost a supremacist move.
Let me jump in.
So Terry's mad black people control their own narratives is what I'm hearing. And is mad that black people, like, I guess collectively are just feeling... See, Terry's one of those niggas that's like, wow, black people, we can't feel ourselves too much now. Mm-hmm. don't want to be a black supremacist. And I'm like, first of all, that's such a joke. And I've literally been called a black supremacist by a white person before. And I think that's really funny that he's using that language.
That's not a thing.
But I remember it was like, it was a white boy named Connor who called me a black supremacist. And he wrote this paragraph on my Facebook page. And I remember just responding like, black supremacist, hey! And getting like a bunch of likes. And he didn't get any. He got so mad. He was furious. Connor was livid. Terry's livid. Mm-hmm. They're, as far as I'm concerned, they're the same person.
Connor is Terry.
Connor is Terry. Terry is Connor. I cannot tell them apart.
And so the cycle continues.
The cycle continues.
They feel their black lot.
I also have to say, Terry looks tired in this video. He does not look good. And I'm like, this is what happens when you have problematic views, when you're getting on everybody's nerves. Just, you start drooping. You should have minded your own business and sat and just said nothing.
So dull.
You look dull. You look like you're struggling because your politics are struggling. Mm-hmm.
There's no blood in your face, Terry. What happened?
Moisturize.
I mattered a lot more than mine.
Okay. So let me jump in here. There's a lot that you said.
Don Lemon is so shady.
You think Black Lives Matter.
But also, I don't know Don Lemon's politics.
I've seen tons of clips of him being a coon.
He is.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a
And I'm like, well, if Don Lim is the one setting you straight, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You said it's a, you think it's an extreme movement? Because it's now part of the...
No, but this is the thing. It's a great mantra. It's a true mantra. Black lives do matter. But when you're talking about an organization, you're talking about the leaders, you're talking about the people who are responsible
I got you. So let me, but you, Terry, you realize that even during the civil rights movement that Dr. King was seen as extreme. That movement was seen as extreme. To people who don't want to make change, movements are...
I guess we can cut it.
Because we already have a few clips that were just playing clips for a while. Or a few.
Okay. Let me see. I made a few notes, and I wanted to say... Oh, yeah, Terry Crews' whole thing was being the approachable and gentle large black man. And I know that's what society put on him, but I also feel like he really leaned into it. And I feel like he lost himself in this. And I'm like, I don't know what your politics were before, but I do feel like certain celebrities can get lost. And, like, I guess they're, like, playing this role. And I feel like Terry is lost.
He was like, I don't want to be the stereotype.
I was like, trying to always maintain a large white audience and following that he has. I was like, you need to come back to yourself. You need to, like, do some meditating. You need to do some healing.
I feel like a lot of that is also influenced, like, his feelings are influenced by, like, the people he's around.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly feeling attacked because a lot of the people that he's being talked shit about are probably the people that he worked closely with. Mm. Like, has anyone from Brooklyn Nine-Nine or, like, anyone else that he works with, like... said anything that you know?
Like, what, just about Black Lives?
No, like, against Terry. Or just, like, responded to him.
Yeah, and as far as I know, nobody who works with him now has responded to him. Terry Crews needs a friend to talk to him. And people are offering. Chica, the rapper, was like, yeah, made this whole long thread and was like, being very gentle, very nice, and like, Terry, if you want to talk, we can talk in private. And a lot of other people, a lot of other black celebrities I see have, like, reached out and, like, we can talk in private. We don't have to do this here. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to help him. And he's just like, nope, here I go on the Don Lemon show to, like, further dig myself into a hole.
Mm-hmm. Chica wrote a whole rap about the situation.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
I bet it's bomb as fuck.
It was.
Wow. Chica stands. If you don't listen, if you don't know who Chica the rapper is, you need to, like, get from up under the rock you're living under. Mm-hmm. And, you know, take a listen. I also stan her. Just as, like, being, like, a black queer, like, rapper, and also just, like, so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. Like, bitch, I'd be weak scrolling through her timeline. But, and it's talking back on Terry Crews. He needs to deal with his massage noir. Like, you... are constantly... You need to love black women. I think when he did the Gabrielle Union, who was facing a lot of like racism when America's Got Talent, spoke out about it. And as soon as she spoke out about it, like a few days later, if I'm not mistaken, Terry Crews releases this statement or just says, "I've never experienced any racism on America's Got Talent." And I'm like, what a bitch move. Mm-hmm. What a fucking, like, are you a child? Yeah, after Gabrielle Union defended and stood up for you, this is what you do, of course. This is what you do to black women. No one's ever fucking there for black women. Terry was, and Terry's not any fucking different. And I'm like, how do you have, well, no, it's not how do you have. I was like, how do you have a whole black family and then do this? But, like, black men do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Just don't give a fuck. But, yeah. Trash. And he's come under fire before, and people have always tried to be, I feel like, so gentle with Terry. And there's always been people I've seen, like celebrities, trying to call him in instead of out. Just like, we can talk about this. Mm-hmm. I remember he said something about kids needing to have, like, a mom and dad in the household. Mm-hmm. Or something. People are like, well, this is sort of homophobic, this is sort of transphobic, because, like, a lot of families don't look that way, and they don't have to look that way to be, have, like, be a healthy family. Mm-hmm. And Terry just got really defensive and didn't listen. And now we're seeing that happen over and over again.
I think that was the first thing he did.
Yeah.
That I remember, and I was like,
Mm-hmm. So, I'm feeling like, it's like, fuck you, Terry Crews, but it's also like, I'm seeing this, like, pattern happen. I'm like, I guess I understand what's going on, but I'm like, you need to do the work to, like, you just need to do the work to do better. Mm-hmm. Because we see what's happening, and it's very obvious, and it's just a shame to watch people, like, fall into these traps, basically, of, like, they think they're, like, thinking things through, but it's like, these are things that have already been discussed, already been talked about. There's already readings and writings and all of this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're behind. You need to catch up. But maybe he will, maybe he won't. But Terry Crews says this is the hill he's willing to die on, so I'll let him. Terry's grown. He's 51 years old. We'll be right back after this short break. Alexander Hamilton. We're going to talk about Hamilton, y'all. Yay! Anyway, so Hamilton is a work of art created by artiste Lin-Manuel Miranda. There is some critique going around. It's all valid. But, you know, let's all be gentle, guys.
Psych? Like, what?
So everybody's talking about Hamilton right now, written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's a musical about, he's literally idolizing this man. He basically tries to put the story of the Founding Fathers into, like, a context with, like, people of color. And it just honors America, which is not really what we're about. But I think I found out about this musical years ago. I think I remember I was I a freshman in college? Yes, I was. When the album dropped, I saw it on Spotify and I listened to it. And I was like, what is this? And I listened to his other musical called In the Heights, which is about gentrification. And I think, like, gentrification and identity.
How does he make that, like, about gentrification, and then he makes Alexander Hamilton?
What? Okay, so let's go over the things that are wrong with it.
Everything.
It was a mess. It glorified a U.S. president.
The music was good. The singers, the cast, amazing. They can act.
Except for Lin-Manuel. Yeah,
singing, he can't dance. He can't sing, he can't rap, he can barely dance. Mm-hmm. His forehead is huge.
His hair was so greasy throughout the whole.
That was mousse.
Oh, that was grease.
And also the king character.
Maybe he was like for his character.
Where he spit. Like, he drooled. And I was like, bitch.
I was thinking that too. This the King has three songs, and it's like they're cute little like breakup songs about like America, which I thought was cute when I first listened to the album.
Were they trying to make the King like gay, flamboyant? Was the King supposed to be like gay?
I have no idea, honestly.
He was pretty flamboyant.
Yeah, I was like, huh. But the first song he spit, and I was like.
He's spitting all of his songs. Wait, were all spitting all over that stage. That's what I kept noticing during the musical.
Yeah, I bet that stage was sprayed at the end. I feel so bad for him to clean it.
They used to have to mop up every night.
Yikes.
Yeah, but I really hate that song. He's like, I'm not gonna waste my shot. I hated that song. Mm. I was like, huh? The best song was when they started rapping. The French nigga, the Irish nigga.
By the French nigga means his name was Lafayette, or Z means Lafayette. I'm gonna have to bleep that.
Oh, you're good. Oh yeah, Lafayette. That's that was what's his name from Clipping.
Yeah, it was Daveed Diggs from Clipping, industrial rap group, lit. Also lit ass actor.
And I actually liked the rap a lot. I was like, that's the best part of this. Well, the 27 minutes that I watched. Well, let's listen to it.
So Z didn't even watch the whole musical.
I couldn't get through it.
I, on the other hand, am the only one here who has experienced the whole musical, listened to the whole album multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Why does Grimes look like that?
Oh, here you go.
Sorry. Do they hear that?
Why does who look like who?
Grimes look like that. I was just going on YouTube so I could listen to the rap part of that I liked, and I saw that.
I can't. Grimes is like, just a mess.
They're just... So what was the name of the rap part that I thought was good? Do you remember the name of that song?
I don't remember the name of the song.
Damn, that was the only good part. I don't remember it. Damn, Henry. let me see. Hamilton. French. Rap? Okay, I guess.
Mastani, get down!
Mastani! You dumb bitch.
Is it Guns and Ships?
No, that's Lafayette singing, but it's a pretty lit song, too.
Oh, really? I want the rap. Is it Nonstop?
No, it's not Nonstop.
Satisfied?
You're just gonna look over every. Yeah, let me see. Look at those. Aren't from the. It needs to be from the beginning of the musical.
How do I know it's the beginning?
Go on the album and like on Spotify or something and like show it in order.
I can't with myself.
You know, I don't know why you just went to YouTube and are looking through videos.
I
don't
know why I did that. Okay, so Hamilton.
Do you think we will stay up? I don't know who'd report us for copyright.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we don't have... I was just thinking today, because I wanted to sing or put the SpongeBob song without you. Like, a stove is a stove, no matter where you go. And I was like, I would love to get a cease and desist from SpongeBob Studios. That would be great. I'd frame that shit. Like, I'm like, wow. Yeah. They said, legally, stop. Or we're coming, like, we're going to get you. Like, and I was like, wow. SpongeBob spoke to us. Mm. You know, it's like the same.
I think it's my shot, but like the beginning.
I would love if Lin-Manuel Miranda sent us a cease and desist.
I love it. Oh, hell no. Mm-mm.
Yikes.
I think it was that.
Is it?
Yeah.
No,
it's not in this one. They don't rap in that one. This is the intro song.
What? Where's the only good song?
It's an Aaron Burr song. You need to, I think, skip forward.
Oh, okay.
And skip like halfway through the song.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, nah, I'm John Lawrence and the place to be. Like,
don't let them know what you're against or what you're for. You can't be serious. You wanna get ahead. Yes. Fools who run their mouths off wind up dead.
Yo, what time is it? Showtime!
Like I said.
Showtime, yo! I'm John Lawrence in the place to be. A 2 pints of Sam Adams, but I'm working on 3. Ha! Those red coats don't want it with me, cause I will pop, chicka, plop these cops till I'm free.
Hey, oui, mon ami, je m'appelle Lafayette. The Lancelot of the revolutionary set. I came from afar just to say bonsoir to the king, cause it's right. Who is the best? C'est moi.
brah, brah. I am Hercules Mulligan, up in it, loving it. Yes, I heard your mother said, come again. Hey. Lock up your daughters and horses. Wow, no more sex. Pour me another brew, son. Let's raise a couple more to the revolution. Well, if it ain't the prodigy, you'll bring the college. Aaron Burr. Give us a verse, drop some knowledge. Good luck with that. You're taking a stand.
Okay, I don't want to hear anymore.
So anyway, catchy ass song, right, y'all?
That one part of that one song.
You didn't watch the whole musical.
It was too much. I couldn't do it. Oh, also, other musicals. I've been obsessed with Prince of Egypt lately.
Yeah, it was a Disney-like musical?
Yeah, about, like,
when did it come out? I feel like we should get more information on it. Prince of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was beautifully animated and just like a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. When he said deliver us, I was like, yes! There you go. Wow.
Oh, it came out in 1998.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
The year I was born.
It's your message.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Wow. God saying something? It's such a lit song.
And I'm on the Wikipedia, it says, in this animated retelling of the Book of Exodus, Egyptian Prince Moses, Val Kilmer was the voice, upon discovering his roots as a Jewish slave, embarks on a quest to free his people from his bondage, or just from their bondage, when his plea is denied by his brother Ramses, that was Ralph Fiennes, the new pharaoh, oh wow, a white man, they're all white, yeah. Wow, of course. Moses finally leads the Israelites to freedom by parting the Red Sea and drowning the Egyptian army. God then gives Moses the Ten Commandments, a list of rules for his people to live by.
I think most of the actors, voice actors, were Jewish, and I think that's why they were picked. I think somebody said they were Jewish. But I'm so mad that they were all white Jewish people.
Oh, yeah, but the music was done by Hans Zimmer. That's why it was so fucking good. And Stephen Schwartz. It got a Critics' Choice Movie Award for Best Animated Feature, too.
Really?
Oh, Michelle Pfeiffer was in it. So was Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, Danny Glover was in it. Patrick Stewart. Steve Martin. Steve Martin was Hotep.
Oh, that's so funny.
Steve Martin was the Hotep of the movie. Jeff Goldblum was in it?
We're going to recall this.
Is it Helen Mirren?
He's Jewish, right? I think Jeff
Goldblum. Yeah.
James Avery was in it.
You think Sandra Bullock is? Or no, maybe she's not. There's a lot of Jewish people.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock was in it.
I always forget who's Jewish. Let's see.
Were we talking about Hamilton?
What about Hamilton?
Oh, we should talk about like the serious reasons it is bad and like it does glorify.
Oh yeah, we didn't.
We joked about how like Lin-Manuel Miranda can't really sing or rap well, but Hamilton does some pretty dangerous things. I saw a really good post on it by Adrienne Marie Brown, I think. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, it was completely unfair for Lin. To give himself the lead role, despite being the least talented person.
He really is. I was like,
he robbed that role.
So.
Okay, I found the post. Adrienne Marie Brown said, Hamilton is exquisite theater. Set, costumes, choreography, songwriting, cast, pace, character development, dazzle, excellence. The excellence of art made me cry most of the show. The songs are thrumming through my mind even as I write this. It is an act of undeniable theatrical genius. It presents the Founding Fathers as distinct, relatable human beings, and for me, that makes it highly uncomfortable art. I don't want anyone to watch it as a surface-level experience, nor do I want anyone to miss it. Anytime I have to remember that there are no monsters, just flawed, selfish, limited human beings, it messes me up. It's easier in binary if I can erect an impenetrable boundary between my experience and that of those who would kill or who would own kill dehumanize me. But that isn't the world we live in. Heartache and grief are nearly universal. Ego and foolishness too, and love. The dream of America is, was so good. Everyone equal in a functional democracy? Yes. I just don't know anyone who ever lived there. It was doomed by white supremacy, which made it impossible for these men in fancy shirts to see indigenous and black women humanity. Today, watching the story that started 244 years ago, we are watching a lineage of our own doom, watching while living and dying in a nation that could have been great, but the foundation is rotten with hate and it's crumbling, toppling, turning. With my analysis, there's no way to see this musical as anything other than heartbreaking. My mind overlays it with the image of at Arlen Parsa, updated to show how many of the founding fathers were slave owners, and then I sit with the contradictions. I don't feel patriotic watching it. I think it's more like seeing the childhood photos of someone who later abused me. Where did that wholeness go? Can that humanity be saved? Hamilton is provocative theater because it is so excellent while dancing the same lines of centering white narratives and erasing others, even as the overt excellence of everyone from all their multitudinous backgrounds is why it's so good. I do want to see what Ishmael Reed did in Toni Morrison's living room, though, and I want to watch Hamilton some more. I want it all. So I think that says a lot of things. Because that really, I guess it talks about Hamilton's appeal while also talking about, like, why it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we should talk about that video that somebody wrote a play called The Haunting of Lin-Manuel Miranda, which really, like, examines Hamilton. It's like, and it's, like, downfalls.
And we should, Toni Morrison contributed it.
Yeah, Toni Morrison was the second largest funder of this. And there's a tweet going around, like, y'all, Toni Morrison hated Hamilton so much, she literally funded a play.
Okay. Oh yeah, but I just think it's trash, like, just, it's literally like a rewriting of history. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, if I make them black and brown, it won't be problematic. I'm like, huh? Sir? What? Mm-hmm. It's fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The songs aren't even that good. And he can't sing. He should quit. He should quit his day job. Or he should quit and get a real job. I'm kidding. Theater is a real job, but he can't sing. How are you into theater so much and you want to sing, but you don't know how to sing? He didn't work on his voice ever. Like, you're that into theater.
It's just his voice.
He's that into theater and he can't sing? Tragic. Like, I feel like if somebody like him was that into theater, he would at least have, like, a decent voice. His voice isn't even decent.
Yeah. It's so nasally.
It's not.
He can't help his nasally voice.
I feel like there's things to, like, I feel like he didn't practice singing enough. He needs to.
I'm acting like I wasn't agreeing with y'all yesterday. I'm like, oh, for the fans. I'm like, right. They think I'm the nice one. Like,
wow. Lynn's gonna hear, like, you're the only one who supports me.
Yeah, when he gives me a job later in theater, I'm like, Lynn, I don't know what they were talking about.
I can't with you. We're just gonna record you in secret and be like, yep, Henry's talking shit. I'm kidding. No, get that money.
Because let's, like, I want to write my own musicals. I'd love to write, because I was like, I've never heard or seen a radical musical. Musicals typically have horrible politics. Musical theater is super white. And Lin-Manuel Miranda basically centered whiteness in a very strange way that made, he just replaced people of color in these really fucked up roles and didn't really talk about how fucked up they were.
He was trying to make it seem like it was like an immigrant come up story. Like, what? Like, he was, like the Not Gonna Waste My Shot song. He keeps talking about how he was, like, an immigrant, and he, like, left the Caribbean to get a better...
He lived in the fucking colonies. Yeah. They were colonizers. Alexander Hamilton was white.
And I was reading that the whole reason he left was because he knew there was going to be a slave revolt. And I'm like, so you just didn't want to get caught up in that? Is that why you left? Like, he didn't leave to, like, get a better shot at life. And, like, What?
Yeah. They also talk about him. He mentioned, I think, Thomas Jefferson's affair with Sally and talking about that as, like, a rape because she was a slave.
And she was underage. She was, like, 13.
She was underage. And the reference to it didn't acknowledge that, any of that in Hamilton. Because it's like, oh, I guess that doesn't make for a good musical. So he took out all the, like, the tragicness of the story that, like, black and brown people...
Except for that one part where he lost his son, which was supposed to make him seem relatable. And
yeah, because his son died in a duel.
Because of him. He died because of him.
He died in duels, first of all. Like, can you die regular? Like, a duel?
Yeah. Like, they weren't even fighting over anything. He was just mad that he said something about his dad.
I can't imagine.
Tragic.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Hamilton, y'all.
You took and you're like,
yeah. But yeah, it's taking the world by storm right now, and everyone's watching it and talking about it.
Yeah.
But I've also seen a lot of really good discourse, and like people critiquing it. So I'm happy to see that conversation, at least by the radical people. I know, like, all the anarchist communists and, like, people to the left. No. Meanwhile, everybody else is like, Hamilton, oh, my God. Like,
yeah, we're also like, oh, my God, that's my shit. Ah, Hammy. gotta hate him. Wow.
We should play the music and as the intro. It's like, dun, 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 dun. Do, and then it's like, Hamilton is trash. And this is why. Hamilton is anti-black. Oh yeah, and the person who plays Hercules Mulligan, he has an amazing voice and he raps like super well, and it just sounds really good when he like says his lines. But that character was like, there's a part in the Battle of Yorktown where Hercules Mulligan is a spy and it basically like is the reason they win the battle and then like the overall war. But Hercules Mulligan had a slave that worked for him that apparently like was a huge part of like them winning and being spies. Mm-hmm. And that character is completely erased. Yeah. And it's like, that's something that you could have included and like made it work.
Yeah.
But you just chose not to, and that's very strange. And it's like, I'm really like questioning all the things you chose to keep out. And there's also a thread on Twitter on how Lin-Manuel Miranda is problematic.
Oh, and his family.
And supports, like, just, like, some real shady colonizer shit. Real liberal shit. And I didn't expect him to have, like, radical politics, but I guess it's really bad. Let me see if we can find it. Didn't one of us send it?
I'll also try and find it. Yeah, I think so. Okay. Tell me why I looked at Lin-Manuel. I didn't even finish, and I was like, Lin-Manuel, Miranda N-word. Did you say the N-word? That's like one of the first things I literally typed in Lin-Manuel.
Just to see.
And then that's what. Yeah, I'm gonna see what they're talking about. They said, remember when Lin-Manuel Miranda said the N-word, and when I brought it up, white people tried to bully me, LMAO. What? Let me look more into this. He said the N-word? Oh, he said in his audiobook.
Our jaws are dropped. That's a mess.
And Daveed Diggs chewed him out for it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Wait, I want to know what Daveed said. Oh, is this it?
What?
Him chewing him out for it?
Where?
It's only 19 seconds. Oh, never mind. It's just like a fan video of Daveed Diggs.
I can't.
His teeth are shiny. Like, they put the little flashy thing on his teeth. I want to see Daveed Diggs, like... Wait, someone said, I'm forever haunted by the rumor that Daveed Diggs had to get Lin-Manuel Miranda to stop saying the N-word in casual conversation.
Oh,
that's apparently a rumor. I feel like Daveed Diggs wouldn't work with somebody who, well, I would hope he wouldn't work with somebody who uses it like that. Apparently there's TikTok audio of Lin-Manuel Miranda saying it. Oh my God.
Play it.
Let me see if I can find it. I found this, but he was really ugly, so I just kept scrolling. I saw this and I was like, ew.
And as Jefferson says, State Department matters are really not Hamilton's job description. 2. This is a famous line from Biggie's classic song Juicy. Daveed, the first time he got the lyric. It's so hard not to say nigga at the end of this sentence. I'm fighting muscle memory. And as Jefferson says,
Wow. What was that on? In the audiobook?
Yeah.
In his audiobook?
That's what people said.
a mess. Oh my god. I hate that.
I want to see David.
I'm looking up to see if it's on Audible.
That book.
I'm not gonna buy it. Like
1 week. What if you did? You're like,
I'll be like, damn, I'm not that far gone.
And week, apparently he went private because of this, and this was 6 days ago. This was coming to light.
Little Miranda Miranda went private?
Yeah, because people found out he said the N-word. Very recent shit. It's like, all these are like 6 days ago, and people were like, some of y'all are forgetting about Lin-Manuel Miranda saying the N-word, and that was 5 days ago, and that was the audio I played for you.
Oh, shit!
Well, I love how, like, wow, the tables have turned. Like, we were just like, oh, let's look, and then it's like, what? N-word?
Hey listeners, I know that we always have a lot to say, and I want to thank you for sticking around to hear what we have to say. So it's a few weeks later after we recorded our takes on Hamilton, and Lin-Manuel Miranda never addressed his use of the N-word, and I wish I could say I was surprised, but what do we expect from the man who wrote Hamilton? Like, we literally said it all. But I wanted to change the focus from the negative and the, I guess, the shortcomings of Hamilton that should be addressed and talked about, but I want to think about some other people who are creating and doing the work of, like, making liberatory art. Because what this whole situation makes me think about are all of the radical playwrights who are creating transcendent, like, radical work that are scathing criticisms of the world we live in that just haven't gained notoriety. And I'm thinking about all the art that is created that never makes it to the big stages and screens because its content is too radical, too critical for what gatekeepers in the creative industry are willing to fund. Because it's honestly why I think we're not seeing all these radical plays, musicals, and these just creative works. It's because most of the time, people aren't willing to fund the work that they think is going to rock the boat, shake the table, which is what radical visionary writers do. So this goes out to, like, the community-funded little plays and performances put on in small venues with messages of liberation that fill the whole building. And I'm wishing and hoping for more radical and visionary political theater and musicals. So here's to the future. All we can do is, like, wait for it. And, like, you know, honestly, create. Be a part of creating it. I remember being so upset with Hamilton after, like, I guess really thinking about it and going over what Lin-Manuel Miranda did, and I'm like, well, it's honestly time to write my own musical. It's time to write my own radical plays. Because if nobody else is doing it, we could always do it. We can always be the voices we want to see. So that's what I'm thinking about. It's time to take a few deep breaths with us. Go ahead and take a slow, deep breath with me right now. Letting go of any tension in your body. Tilt your head slowly from side to side. Or do other small movements, such as wiggling your fingers or toes. And then if you have the space to, do a big stretch. While doing some sort of movement, take another deep breath with me right now. We're going to take another deep breath, and when we inhale, we are going to be inhaling love, healing, and abundance. And exhaling stress, worries, and anything that does not serve us. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Thank you for taking time to breathe with us. And now it's time to see where you at. Do we have anything we want to say right off the bat?
Oh yeah, about how we're feeling mentally, spiritually, and emotionally? Was that it?
Yeah, I'm mad today because we were just talking about fucking Kamala Harris being chosen as Joe Biden's running mate, and that just, like, that fucked me up spiritually then.
like, not that I cared about Joe Biden and whoever he choose, like, it was going to be somebody horrible.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's Kamala Harris, it's just... So, I feel so many different things, different layers of rage for different reasons. Z just lit a blunt.
I told you this is for the...
This is the third blunt in a row that they
this
rolled.
This is the fourth.
Fourth blunt.
This is how we're doing emotionally, listeners.
How are you doing? Where are you at?
Let's see. Oh my god, mentally? Yeah, I'm tired. We were just talking about, all I could think about is that Kamala thing. We've been sharing funny memes. And everybody on our timeline sharing memes, so it makes it better.
Yeah, that's nice when you have like a collection of like radical people that you can go to. Like, you're like, you feel the same way too, right? Because it's like, yeah. It can be so isolating to like, I guess, have radical politics or just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Luckily, everyone,
Else is not always mad enough as I need them to be about different things happening.
Yeah.
But I know I can turn to my friends to also be just as angry as I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people I didn't know were liberal. Or like Roxanne Gay. Did you unfollow her today too?
Yeah, I unfollowed her ass today.
Same.
She's just, I always knew there were certain things I didn't like about her and like takes that she had. But now I'm like, oh, okay, I fundamentally disagree with you as a, like, how you decide to live your life. I don't.
Yeah.
As a liberal. I mean that, well, the way I said it made it sound like I'm disagreeing because I don't, like, agree with her lifestyle. It's like what people say about, like, I need to say that. I disagree with her liberal lifestyle. I am also queer, but, like, I'm like, I just don't agree with that lifestyle. I just,
people liberal. They take that snippet out. Be like, see? Asada Collective hates the gays.
We are the gays.
I'm so weird.
I got so
we
scared.
We are the gays. That reminds me of the time that we were at that, we were held up at that street by that man.
Oh! Yeah! When we were with jail support.
You gotta tell the story.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, weren't we talking to him like 2 hours?
Yeah, so we were just, we were at a protest, and we heard that there was some action being, like, taking place, and so we were, like, trying to find it, and he stops us, and he was like, hey, can I talk to y'all for a quick second?
At night, it was like...
It was like midnight, and it was, how many of us?
It was like us two, those two people that we met, mm-hmm. And then I think it was six of us.
Yeah, and like, mostly black and brown. And he was just like, let me talk to you guys for a second. And he was like, didn't really talk about anything in particular, just gave generic advice.
Just be rambling.
Yeah, but he was saying random shit too. He was like, what did he say? He said something about like communists or something. And Mickey and me were like, what? I don't know if we can say their name. We'll just cut it out. But I was like, what did he mean by that? And he was like, yeah, because I'm a socialist. I was like, yeah, what did he mean by that?
Nothing he said made sense.
At all.
But he kept looking at us for, like, affirmation. Like, yeah, right, guys, right? And we were just like, what?
I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he was like, yeah, look at us now. Like, where are we here fighting? Like, where are the LGBTs? And we're like, right here.
You know, like, all of everybody in the group was queer. Like,
yeah, except for two people. And it was, like, eight of us.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he was like, oh, I mean, like... He's like, what I meant
was... He was not ready. He had no idea he was talking to the queers.
Yeah, we were like, what?
And he was like, well, I meant just in general.
I feel like at that point, he should have just left y'all alone. Like, and just leave. You've embarrassed
yourself.
And his
brother was there taking pictures. Like,
yeah.
Again, like his photo, he was getting angles. He was on the ground. He was like... And me and Sally were like, yeah, we don't want to be the picture.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I won't get you. I'm like, I do not know you. Like, I feel like he was getting us in some of those pictures.
Yeah.
And he was like... Because we wanted him to delete them. He's like, no, it's fine. And that random white lady that came out after she had been sitting in her car.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. There was this random white woman who, like, she was sitting in her car for a minute. Like, I noticed her for, I don't know why. It just seemed off. Like, she was just sitting in her car.
Yeah, across the street. Yeah, and then she came over with her phone, like, looked like recording. I was like, what are you doing? And she put her phone down.
Yeah.
But she would, like, record, and I was like, I think I turned to Mickey, and I was like, because he was, like, beside her. I was like, is she recording us? And they were like, no. I keep looking at her. I feel like she was just flipping her camera whenever somebody was looking at her. Because I was like, that was weird.
Yeah.
And she was trying to act drunk, but I was like, what if she's just pretending because she's a cop?
Yeah, because she like went back, got in her car, and drove away.
Yeah.
Right after.
And this man's was really, we were sitting on the floor. We were sitting on the ground because we were so tired.
He had really held us up for 2 hours talking about nothing.
We all were like, yeah, we have
to sit down. I can't believe y'all let that happen. Like,
I was trying so hard to get away. Like, but everyone sat down.
I would have walked away from the ground. I'm like, y'all are not going to do this to me.
The black person, I can't remember their name. They were also with me. But they were like,
you're saying all these names.
Yeah, we're going to have to bleep these out. Yeah, but they were asking him questions too. And I was like, what? They asked him something, and they were like hugging. They hugged when we left. I was like, "Sir," and then he came to jail support.
I remember.
And he was like, "You guys need anything?" I'm like, "Oh no, we're good for now." And then he was like, "This is what community is." And he was like, "Look at this, young people." I'm just like, "Nigga, oh my God. Please leave."
Wait, we should have said like, "Yeah, can you get us like?" And some pizza.
We should have. Could you bring us like a
some
large?
Some food would be nice.
Two large pizzas, some garlic knots, maybe a large Diet Coke, maybe a Dr. Pepper too.
I'm sampling a slushy. I think there's a 7-Eleven down the road. So
and then people are like, wait, can you stop at Zaxby's real quick? Hey, can you stop at
Kansas? I
remember one time I was at the park with my dad. Me and my brother just went to the park because our dad took us to the park. And my dad was like, gonna go get us food. And all the kids there started asking for. They're like, hey, can I get a quarter pounder? Or can I get this and this? We left. I was like, yeah, we'll get it. And we left. We never came back. Damn, they're probably good waiting for their food. Wow.
Oh, they're dead now.
Dead?
They've starved. I didn't bring them their quarter pounder.
We didn't tell. They just assumed we were gonna get something for them too.
That's a lot. Were they white?
They were black. They were other black kids. I would not.
Believe. You killed them.
Damn.
I cannot with you. Mm. I killed them. I just imagine their skeletons like falling off.
Oh my God.
The screens.
No. Like, well, we gotta cut this out. This is not going.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh yeah. We're talking about emotionally.
Oh yeah.
So I said that was me emotionally. Mm-hmm. I was being exhausted because of Kamala Harris.
Yeah. I'm the same. I'm tired. Like I feel like they just keep topping it. Like just when you think like things can't take a weirder turn.
Who keeps topping it?
So at first it started with Kanye deciding that he wanted to run for president.
Oh my God.
And then what's it? One of Trump's one of his campaign managers apparently helped Kanye with one of his I don't know what he helped him with, but he helped him with something. But because Kanye's technically running for president, that's illegal because you can't work with two presidents at the same during the same campaign, so he might lose his job or his his certification or whatever.
But he's not even actually running because in a lot of states he's not eligible, especially not being.
But
honestly, that's funny as hell.
It's so funny. But because he's like saying that he is, like
he's so dumb.
Yeah.
That picture of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian in the car, and they're like, when the cameras are there, so Kim was like,
like don't tell them mansion.
It was like Kanye was like, and then Kim was like,
I know, but like people can't see what the face you're making.
Oh. They just hear me say like and like.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I thought you were gonna describe it, and then you're like, yeah, and they were like and it was like they just hear silence.
Okay, so Kim has her hand up on her mouth and her eyes are like wide open and she's shocked, and then Kanye is just like looking like brooding into the camera. And I'm just like, ugh.
There are shots of them crying in the car.
Yeah. Like Kanye looks like angry.
He's yeah.
What is this?
Henry. But yeah, Kanye decides to run for president. Trump has apparently really dumb people working for him. Trump is still alive.
They're all still alive.
Yeah, Joe Biden's still alive, and apparently. Bernie Sanders is working with him and Kamala Harris is now a part of the picture. Like, this is one thing on top of the other.
Oh, here's the blunt. See?
Bitch!
Oh. What happened?
Okay. Someone said, I want to gag. I want to choke. I want you to touch that little dangly thing that's swinging at the back of my throat. The lyrics from WAP and then put Olive Garden breadsticks.
I saw that. I laugh reacting to somebody posting that.
I cannot.
Gotta love that.
That is so funny. Those breadsticks are really good. I love breadsticks.
Those are the only good thing there. Because that and their salad. Because everything else, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah. I used to get their tiramisu cake.
I didn't know they had that. Oh, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, I like their tiramisu cakes.
Oh. Well, I guess, I feel like mentally I was all right until today when I found out, when I just had to remember that Trump's in office and Joe Biden is also running. Joe Biden just being a horrible white person who's also just like fighting for like, I guess, lead the empire of the United States. And just him adding a black woman who's like been a prosecutor and just like, you know, like locked up black people, like the most vulnerable like people in our communities. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're teaming up and I know they're gonna like, be like, oh, you're welcome. A black woman is going to be on the major ticket for, like, I guess for the Democratic Party, for a major party, it's like the first time.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's not impressive because this whole system is, nothing about it is impressive. Mm-hmm. And people aren't getting that from me. And I'm like, I guess I'm like, people are just like clinging on to this hope that the electoral system is going to give us like, I don't know, like, give us something productive to work with, and it's not. It's never going to be productive. We're always going to have to be working against it.
Yeah.
But I've been productive and sort of optimistic, just like, but also just ignoring my problems and smoking a lot of weed. Yay. You know, just living. The world's on fire.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
We're doing all that we can, yeah. How are we doing spiritually?
I've been wanting to get, I've been getting more books off this website that I'm not going to talk about because we don't pirate anything. But,
what's pirating? More... We ain't no pirates. Exactly.
Right?
You mean like those people on the ships?
Yeah. We're not those. But yeah, I've been getting more books about like witchcraft and like reworking stuff. And like, I can't wait to read those when I actually sit down and read, because I'll be like, I'm going to read 30 minutes every day, and then I don't read for like 3 weeks.
I feel that.
Because I used to read all the time as a kid.
It's hard now.
Yeah, because we have like jobs and like, as a kid, you literally don't have to do anything.
Yeah, and there's like so many things going on that it's hard for you to focus, or at least for me.
Same.
I haven't been doing much spiritually. I'm looking forward to pulling some tarot cards and journaling and just like reflecting on those. Mm-hmm. I want to do some more complicated spreads because I typically do pull like 3 at most, but I want to do more complicated spreads and just like, I guess, go through and understand them. And also my partner is getting into hoodoo because they saw me practicing and now they're also interested and want to learn. So now I'm like, wow. I have somebody to also practice magic with, but I always practice pretty much alone. But I'm thinking about, I guess, starting to practice with other people. But I need to think of, I don't know who'd be interested.
We can always all do something together.
Yeah.
You'll be interested.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen people talk about how they started like groups to do that. I'm like, I want to start one, but I'm like, who wants to?
Honestly, time for a radical coven.
Yeah.
And what else next is, did you go about how you're feeling spiritually?
I'm... I haven't really been doing anything, I guess. I've been looking at some books that I wanted to buy, but I don't know. I haven't really, like, read any summaries or any of, like, the descriptions of the books that are like have like stood out enough for me to like want to actually like buy, because I like to have hard like books in front of me and like be able to like read it through. But Yeah, none of them have been, like, resonating or, like, been calling out. So I've just been, I guess, waiting for a sign, I guess, per se. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just been existing.
Honestly, turn up. Look at you go. Yeah. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Now let's talk creatively, I guess. How are we doing?
We've all been working on so many things.
Yeah. We have. I feel like we've been pretty, like, producing a lot of things creatively. Like, we've been like pretty creative. Like, we've been like all coming together to write sometimes, plan out things, and you know, I've been organizing my goals and different projects I want to create, doing a lot of envisioning. I've been organizing my digital workspace, trying to build a writing portfolio, and that's been fun. Today, after I found out Kamala Harris is going to be Joe Biden's VP, I was like, I really want everybody who runs for president to die. Like, and I thought it would be interesting to just imagine their deaths and write obituaries, or write, like, we're already in the future, they're dead. How are we going to reflect on the lives that they lived? And that's a project I've just been, like, that just came to me today, and I'm just like, okay, this is something I want to work on. I want to do more political satire-y, I guess, work. Because I feel like a lot of the writing I have is like, I know I want to write about Black queer people. I know I want to write about Black non-binary people because it's experiences that don't get told. But I was like, I also have, I guess, the ability to say so much more than just give like a snapshot to like some Black radical non-binary people's lives. I can be saying things about like empire of the United States. I can be saying things about, I guess, oppression. I can be making bigger statements than I have made previously in my writing, where I've just been like writing for like style. And now I feel like I'm writing for bigger purposes now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Say that.
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How
about y'all?
Yeah, I've been writing a bunch of different things. I think, let me see, we all were writing quite a bit. I started working on characters I had in my head for a minute, because mm-hmm. we went on Start With This. It's that song. Henry, can you sing the song?
I can't. Start With This is a podcast created by the creators of Welcome to Night Vale. That's a sci-fi podcast. But Start With This is about, what is it about? I mean, I guess going from like idea to creating art in different kinds. So like they'll talk about different things. But they have this theme song and it goes, art is hard, starting is hard. And that's how he sings it.
And I was like, what indie girlfriend told him, oh, this is so good.
And he's like strumming a guitar.
Like he thinks, like, I'm sorry, Joseph Fink, like, please stop. Like, not every type of
this
art.
This is a message to Joseph Fink.
You don't have to do every single type of art. Please stick to one thing.
No.
I mean, we'll stick to multiple, but not singing. Not for you. That was a mess. Like, come out with a new version.
Just wanted to give us a little simple track to let us. I didn't even sing the whole thing, so it's like, art is hard, starting. And I keep laughing because I'm doing a voice. Starting is hard. If you want to start somewhere, you can start with this. You can start with this.
See, like, what? I mean, like, that could have been good. But maybe he should have got somebody else to sing it.
He has enough money.
He does. To get somebody else to sing it. Yeah. And he's like, ooh, like, project. She's probably going to come out with an album. And I'm going to listen to it just to laugh at it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But, yeah, I was able to start writing on two characters that I had in my head for a while. And, like, a story. And then, yeah, I've been also organizing my portfolio thing. Because I have, like, an area for, like, writing samples and when I want to send out pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh yeah, we're starting our writing group.
Yeah. Who's starting a writing group?
We're starting our reading group. Sorry. Well, that was a little.
Who's starting a reading group?
We are, but like not now. We're starting our reading group.
Asada Collective.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We had our first meeting with everybody else who's we've been talking to and like about like how we want to see Asada Collective. And
yeah, people can still sign up because we're going to release this episode pretty soon. It's on August 29th at 3 p.m. If you go to our social media, you'll see places and like figure out how you can register, get in contact with us if you're interested. So, you know, just a little tidbit we're dropping.
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah. Ooh, this is gonna be so fun. We're gonna be reading the Combahee River Collective statement. Oh, and me and Henry are recording the we're recording like the whole four parts. Henry's recording, or you already recorded one and three in the intro, and I'm doing two and four. So that'll be fun. What else have I been writing? Oh, I guess creatively I've also been working on my like coding stuff. Because I have an Instagram where I give tech tips to people because I want it to be like digestible and not like weird and complicated to understand. But my main audience is supposed to be community organizers, so I've been coming up with posts that I'm gonna like eventually release, but that's been fun too. And yeah, well, we've all been getting into drawing and animation and stuff, which is fun. And because I'm into coding, I found out there's a way you can like code and draw, like you can draw pictures from code, so I'm gonna get into that. I can't wait, that's gonna be fun.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I've been doing a bit of writing. We've been having a lot of creative sessions, which has been like very inspiring. So working on a few stories. We've been doing a lot of readings for like, I guess, autism, and it's been like helping me, I guess, understand myself a lot better, and that's been kind of helping me with writing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been fun. Yeah, I've been wanting to do more, like I've been doing some drawings, but I can't think up of any. I've done some characters for a comic that I wanted to create, but I need more inspiration.
Honestly, going on Tumblr and looking at art, like they have some, that's all Tumblr is good for right now, is just looking at people's art.
Oh wow.
Because like that's what I do, like everything else sucks, but if you just go under some art tags, that really helps.
Tumblr is so much though.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm following over 3,000 blogs, and I was like, when did it get to this point? Mm-hmm. When? So I don't even want to go on it anymore.
It's been a minute since I've been on Tumblr.
Yeah, you're never on there, because like I can see who's. And do you know you can make groups now on Tumblr? See, you haven't been on for so long, because this has been like 5 months.
Oh my god.
It's been on there for 5 months.
Groups? For what?
Yeah, just like different topics. Like some people will make groups for like, oh, if they like to write or so. And you can just like, you can ask to join the group, and then, yeah, it's pretty cool. Maybe I should go in like one of those writing groups.
Damn, now I'm like, should I explore Tumblr?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But, I think I made a group with us three, and neither of you ever said anything, so I was like, well,
okay. So why would you not tell either of us?
I don't know.
You just silently made a group with us, and said never. You're like, I wonder when they'll figure it out.
Wait, let me see if I still have it. I don't know if I deleted it, because I was like, oh.
Wow, that seems...
Oh, yeah, look, it's literally...
It's still there?
Yes. I think this is it.
Okay. I have to download Tumblr now.
I think
now.
This is it.
Now we're all on our phones. We're just like, what?
I'm going on the website.
Oh, also, I shared a little short story. I made a little fake fan fiction, but it's a little story, like writing exercise I did about Kamala Harris. I talked about I was writing, what is it, her obituary? Or not her obituary. It was, I had a performance of a white woman doing a eulogy for Kamala Harris. The year is 2023. And I'm like, where's my praise? I shared my creativity with the world. I'm waiting for everyone to say, wow, this was amazing. So good. Where's more?
Yes.
But so far, nobody said anything, and that's fine. But I'm going to keep writing it. Somebody's going to get this if I keep sending it out. Well, I'm going to self-publish my own. It's like obituaries for politicians. Yes. Obituaries and eulogies of people who haven't died yet.
I love that.
Yeah.
That'd be lit.
Well, you heard it here first. Earlier in this podcast, we told a story that took place at jail support, and I wanted to give people a little bit more information on that. Jail Support is a 24/7 setup across the street from the Mecklenburg County Jail, created and held down by abolitionists who have been both running a bail fund for people who are arrested during protests and direct actions, but has been transformed into a hub for resources and help for people just being released from the jail as well. It's run by the organization Charlotte Uprising, and you can support them by donating to their Jail Support / Bail Fund, whose Cash App is $HouseOfKanautica, and Kanautica is spelled K-A-N-A-U-T-I-C-A, and their Venmo is capital A, Ash Williams, C-L-T. Thank you for listening to the second episode of Where You At. I hope we gave you things to think about and also a little bit of joy and laughter. We'll see you next time.